Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, what's going on, Giants fans? Welcome to the latest episode of our Talk is Cheap podcast from NJ Advanced Media, the Star Ledger, NJ.com. Daryl Slater here with you, Bob Brookover joining us. And it is Tuesday, March the 21st in the morning now here. And free agency is more than a week old because it started with the opening of the negotiating window. Obviously, a lot of stuff got done last Monday and Tuesday in advance of the official start of free agency on Wednesday. So we're just going to take a look here at where the Giants are at. We previewed free agency before this and talked about their areas of need. Obviously, the Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley stuff was sorted out by then, but they did quite a bit more. And so we'll go through it. Bob, how you doing?
Hey, Daryl, how are you? We're almost all right. Through the free agency stage, and we'll be looking at the draft. But there's still some free agents lingering out there.
Sure, Odell Beckham being the big one, and it sounds like probably more on the Jets' radar than the Giants' radar at this point, even though the Giants, as we'll get to, did not really make any big splash additions to their receiver room. As far as the draft, that, you know, April 27th coming up in a little more than a month here from now, but the Giants, obviously, as everyone knew would be the case, are still going to have roster holes leading into the draft. They were never going to be able to address everything. But let's talk about what they did do and just kind of go through the big moves here. Obviously, the trade for Darren Waller, a third-round pick to the Raiders, that being the pick that they got from the Chiefs in the Kadarius Toney trade. And so they reworked Darren Waller's contract to free up some much-needed cap room. We don't have to get into all the details and nuts and bolts, but essentially it goes from being a one-year commitment to Darren Waller to a two-year commitment, which makes sense because you're trading a third-round pick anyway. So they're really hoping he can help their passing game. Do you think he can?
If he's healthy, sure. If he's healthy, he's a great player. He's a great, you know, one of the elite tight ends in the NFL. I mean, he's you know, might not be Travis Kelce, but or George Kittle, but he's definitely on the brink of that tier of player. And there's not many guys you can say that about. So. Yeah, I mean, it's all about him being healthy. That's not a guarantee. He hasn't been the last 2 years as healthy as he was in the past. But if you go back and look at the games he was able to play, when he was on the field, even in the last 2 years, he was still an effective player. So, I mean, that's that's a good sign for the Giants, I think, if you just say, hey, as long as he's playing, he's good. And so that's the key now. Okay. And, you know, the one thing that would concern me is that the thing that bothered him last year was a hamstring. And sometimes they just don't go away. Kadarius Toney is a great example. He couldn't get on the field because of that hamstring last year until he went to the Chiefs. But, you know, he was back on the field at the end of last season. And here was his last four games, three catches, 48 yards and a touchdown. Four catches, 58 yards, three catches, 72 yards and a touchdown, two catches, 35 yards. So, for those four games, he was Darren Waller. The Giants got to hope that's the same case next year.
Yeah, in 2019 and 2020, those were his breakout years with the Raiders. He had 1145 and 1196 yards, played a full season, 16 and 16 games, right? Because they didn't go to 17 until 2021, right? And so then the last 2 years, 11 and 9 games. So he played 20 of 34 total games the past 2 years, which, you know, and his production was, even if you look at it in yards per game, 60 and 43 the last 2 years, down from 71 and 74 the previous two. So like you said, he's got to stay healthy. He's getting up there a little bit in age. Both, he'll be 31 in the middle of September, essentially, when the season starts. But I think this is a move the Giants had to make. And the commitment, really, if you look at it, is about 2 years and $24 million now, what they're locked into him for, essentially.
The other thing that's encouraging to me, you know, I talked to Mike Mayock and John Gruden. Obviously, they, you know, they found that they took him off the practice squad in Baltimore. Well, Gruden did. Mayock wasn't there yet. But obviously he played for them and played great for them. But if you talk to both those guys, you know, they just love the character and the work ethic. So those are good signs too, that, you know, that this is a real good character guy with an incredible story. You know, overdosed, was on the practice squad, a forgotten, you know, pretty much a forgotten person. He was a sixth round pick, you know, picked himself up, you know, realized that after the overdose that, you know, he needed to, get his life together, went to a rehab, started working at a vegetable type grocery store. He's a great story. So, you know, when you have somebody like that, obviously it's somebody you say, hey, hope the success comes back.
Yeah. A fantastic story, with what he's able to do in terms of not just salvaging his career, but turning a career that really, again, he was a sixth round pick, and he became a Pro Bowler who made quite a bit of money and had a couple really good years there. And let's see if he can rediscover it. But, you know, even if you take out the substance abuse issues he had, you know, he's certainly exceeded expectations as a sixth round pick. And the Giants are hoping that with this 2-year commitment they made to him, really, and they made a 2-year commitment to Daniel Jones too, that they can get over the hump, get deeper in the playoffs, and, you know, just improve this passing game, make it a little more explosive. And they do have Daniel Bellinger, who flashed at times last year, but, you know, look, he was a 4th-round pick. It's not like he lit it up. You need to have more than, you know, one tight end, obviously, and they needed more dynamic play there. And really, Waller is essentially a receiver. You know, he's a prolific, he can be a prolific receiving tight end. And so that's where maybe Joe Shane looks at it. And he talked about, oh, we don't need to add a number one receiver. Like, okay, you know, but you need to have someone who develops into your most reliable pass catcher and puts up good numbers, right? I mean, and presumably Waller
is a Super Bowl champion. Chiefs proved yep. It doesn't have to be a wide receiver. Yep. You know, Gruden was funny because his great quote was, I call them jokers because they go good with any hand. You can use 3 of spades, 3 of diamonds, queen of hearts. It doesn't matter. When you got a joker, you can use them with any hand.
That's a great line from a guy who's delivered plenty of good lines and plenty of ill-advised lines over his career. It's really too bad for, you know, as an aside, like, John Gruden's pretty damn funny, and obviously he's with his own dumb things that he did, he's forced himself out of the discourse forever in the NFL, so we won't get to really hear much of those kind of great lines again, presumably, but that is a really good line and some good insight there. People should check out your story that you did talking to Mike Mayock and John Gruden about Darren Waller. I guess that kind of leads us into the receiver situation. I wrote a little something about it for today. So, like, here's what they've done at receiver. We know Kenny Galladay is gone. We know Kadarius Toney was traded. We know Richie James, who went ended the year as their slot receiver, is still a free agent. He's really more of a special teams guy anyway. So here's the broad view of the Giants receiver room right now. They re-signed Darius Slayton and Sterling Shepard, modest contracts, which essentially amount to 1 year. They signed Paris Campbell, 1-year deal, another guy who's had injury issues, flashed a little bit last year. They signed Jeff Smith from the Jets. He's a special teams player. Isaiah Hodgins, we talked about him. He wasn't really even a free agent anyway. They retained him as an exclusive rights guy. And they're going to have Colin Johnson back, kind of an intriguing big bodied receiver, tore his Achilles in preseason last year. And then of course, Wandale Robinson, their ideal slot guy, had that ACL tear in late November. So who knows there when he'll be ready. So if you look at this receiver room, and maybe it will include Odell Beckham, I don't think so. But here's the rundown of the guys they have. They have Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard, Paris Campbell, Jeff Smith, just to throw him in, Isaiah Hodgins, Wandale Robinson, and Colin Johnson. Most notably, they have a few other guys. But what do you make of that room right now?
You know what, given other parts of this team, especially the offensive line, I'd be willing to go forward with that if I were the Giants, and with my focus more on making sure I have more depth on the offensive line. I think Slayton has proven that, you know, hey, if he gives you his typical year, it's going to be 700 yards, right? You know, if you can have Waller be a 1,000-yard receiver or as close to a 1,000-yard receiver, something they didn't have before, you know, if you can get another 400, 500 yards out of Bellinger, you know, if you can have Hodgkins be the player that he was last year, and then also put in Paris Campbell as a deep threat, you know, who is, if he's healthy, I think there are enough parts there. You know, I don't know what Stern, you know, the funny thing is Stern Shepherd looked very good for those, for that brief glimpse we saw him last year. I don't, you can't obviously count on that, and they're not. But you know, it looked like he still had something left in the tank. I don't know how, what he looks like when he comes back, but I think there's enough, promise and potential there for this to be a much better receiving core than it was a year ago.
Yeah. And another thing to consider, and I don't know that they would do this at this point, but DeAndre Hopkins potentially could be traded with an altered contract. The Giants, yeah, obviously.
There's things like you mentioned Beckham. So Beckham's on record on his social media is basically saying $4 million is not enough. Well, $4 million is not enough. He's not coming to the Giants.
Correct. Maybe so, he'll lower that eventually when he realizes teams are not going to give him a lot of money. I don't know.
Right. And then it becomes about how much does he want to come back to New York, and you know how much influence does Sterling Shepard have. But I just don't see that happening, and I don't think the Giants need it to happen. I think, like I said, I think they need to go start working on this offensive line depth.
Yeah, I don't think it will happen, and I don't think it should either. I don't think it sounds like the Bills are not trading Gabe Davis. DeAndre Hopkins sounds like he will be moved. Again, the Giants would have to really mess with that contract and alter it and to fit him under their cap. I mean, they could certainly use him. I think DeAndre Hopkins would be an intriguing piece. But like you said, they have other areas to address. And when it comes to, you know, the draft, even they could certainly draft a receiver high. I don't see why they couldn't, because look at the, for all practical matters, I mean, they're not committed past 2023 to any of these guys. Slayton, Shepard, Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard, Paris Campbell, Jeff Smith, Colin Johnson, or Isaiah Hodgins. There's no commitment to any of those guys past 2023. Obviously, Wandale Robinson, you drafted him around two last year, so you're hoping, you know, you're committed to him probably past 2023, even though the jury's still out on him. And we don't know, you know, when he's going to be ready. So they're probably depending at this point on Sterling Shepard playing in the slot to start the year, all things considered. But really, right now, the Giants have, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So Slayton, Shepard, Campbell, Smith, Johnson, Hodgins, and Wandale Robinson, seven receivers there who have like degrees of potential, and they're probably just going to have to piecemeal this thing in terms of, like you said, adding up all the yards in combination with Waller and in combination with what Sterling or Saquon Barkley gives you out of the backfield, maybe as a receiving threat at times. That's presuming, like we said, that they don't pull off a trade for, and DeAndre Hopkins would be the big one at this point in terms of a trade. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. You can't pass block, though.
The other thing to keep the other, what's that? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say the other thing to keep in mind, which, you know, Joe Shane has mentioned, you know, you got to look ahead to next year too. And when you look ahead to next year, the free agent receiver class is superior to this one. You have Mike Evans is coming out. He's going to be older, but he hasn't shown any signs of age yet. T. Higgins is probably going to be in that class. Gabe Davis could be, you know, if the Bills don't resign him, he'll be in that class. And then you got Calvin Ridley, Darnell Mooney, Michael Pittman. It's just a superior class to this one. So if you're, you know, the things you just mentioned where they haven't tied up anybody long term here, you know, you look ahead to next year and you say, hey, you know what? Let's go with what we got this year. And then if we need to build around it, there's going to be a chance to do that next year.
That's a terrific point. That's a really good point. And, you know, and maybe that mitigates whether they draft someone this year. we'll see. And that kind of leads into our next point that we started bringing it up there. If you can't pass block, you know, that's going to significantly limit what you can do in the passing game just as much as crummy receivers would. And so, the Giants sitting there now with one pick in each of the first three rounds because they traded that extra third rounder for Darren Waller. They're at number 25 in the first round. What do they do there? I would not be surprised at this point if they drafted an interior offensive lineman, maybe a center, because as you kind of alluded to there, it's not just that they need to address depth on their O-line. First of all, they need Evan Neal and Mark Lewinsky to play better than they did last year. They need Andrew Thomas to keep playing really well. But they have to figure out who's going to be their left guard, and because Nick Gates is gone to Washington, and who's going to be their center. And now they have Ben Bredesen and Joshua Zudu as in-house options at left guard. Okay, fair enough. They both played more snaps at left guard than Nick Gates did last season anyway. But what do they do at center? Because John Feliciano is heading to the 49ers. So they have no legitimate in-house center options. And no, Ben Bredesen is, you know, doesn't count. He's dabbled at center. But so then that becomes like, you know, that's probably it's got to be a target, you think, in the draft, right?
It does. I don't know how they feel about Ben Bredesen moving in the center. Like, you know, if you can get a stud guard, and the stud guard is out there. I can't think of the kid from Florida. I'm drawing a blank right now.
Yeah, I think his name is Osiris Torrance. Yeah.
Osiris Torrance, that's it. If you can get him, you know, then you consider maybe moving Ben Bredesen to the center. The thing that keeps coming to mind, and I was still on the very embryonic stages of being on the beat last year, so I was still trying to learn the roster. But I go back to watching, and this is it was before I even got hired. I go back to watching the Giants preseason games last year, and they had Feliciano was hurt, and they had a mess going on at center during the preseason. Yep. And I just remember watching. I was like, you know, this job's not as easy as it seems, because they didn't have anybody that could snap the ball. I mean, you forget about how important just the exchange of the ball to the quarterback is, and they were struggling with that part of the game in the preseason last year. So it's so important that they find somebody good and competent to, you know, Feliciano might not have been great, but he was competent at that part of it. He was durable, you know, dependable, good guy in the locker room. Was he great? No, by no means. And can you upgrade there? Yes. But it's not, you don't just flick a switch and get somebody that can do it. It's really a huge part of what they need to do right now.
For sure. And we talked about the draft at receiver, and I just to mention some names, you know, Quentin Johnston from TCU, Jackson Smith Jibba from, I don't know how to say his last name, from Ohio State, Zay Flowers from Boston College, Jordan Addison from USC, and Josh Downs from North Carolina would be your receiver options there. In they terms of the
drafters, yeah. Go ahead.
What's that?
They seem to be the first rounders.
Yeah, the prominent guys, maybe someone trickles to the second round, but maybe not late to where the Giants are. But in terms of the, like you mentioned, Osiris Torrance from Florida, really good guard. PFF has him 39th overall. That's a good point. You could maybe put him at left guard and then maybe Bredesen at center. They need to find some consistency at center. Like they need – Daniel Jones had four different centers through 4 years. John Halapio.
Daniel Jones had four different everything, hasn't he?
Yeah. That's so true. Halapio, Nick Gates, then Nick Gates gets hurt and they go Billy Price and then John Feliciano. Who, yes, I mean, John did, you know, really nice job in the locker room. Probably exceeded expectations. He wasn't a great player, but good enough. They have to figure out what they're going to do there, because, in terms of centers in this draft, the guys you're looking at are Luke Whipler from Ohio State, Joe Tippmann from Wisconsin, and then another Big Ten guy, John Michael Schmitz from Minnesota. So those would be your notable center prospects if you're going to go in that direction. In terms of drafting a center, but obviously they need to get some continuity there considering how much that position's been in flux and what they're losing with the leadership from Feliciano. It would be a learning curve for a new center, no doubt, but they don't have anyone right there. I mean, and so that's got to be a concern. Like interior line has got to be a significant concern right now for Joe Shane.
It really does. You know, I don't think they can afford to pay him, but the guy who's out there is Connor McGovern from the Jets.
Good point.
That would be an interesting change. And Ben Jones is an older guy from the Titans, but he was a Pro Bowler for the first time in his career. So that there's still those possibilities out there with guys like that. So, I mean, it's not completely off the chart that they could go free agent wise to fill the hole.
For sure, especially if those guys are willing to take a modest deal. I don't know yet if they're to that point. Ben Jones, perhaps a target for the Jets too, who will, you know, obviously Aaron Rodgers probably heading there. They have to protect him. And so in terms of, you alluded to their flexibility, they currently have $3.7 million in cap space, the Giants do. There's only, let's see, five teams with less than that, according to Over the Cap. That does not count the Jihad Ward contract. We'll get to that, but that'll be a modest one. That counts all the other ones, though. And so, yeah, they have to allocate, figure out how they're going to allocate this going forward in terms of the interior line. So we touched on receiver. We touched on the line, and especially the interior line there, and obviously tight end with Darren Waller. You know what they did at quarterback and running back. I think that kind of sews up the offense, right? Anything we missed there before we switched to defense?
I think that's it. Well, we before we switch to defense, we should mention that they – also re-signed their punter and their long snapper.
They did. So their whole battery's back because Graham Gano's back. They're all three of those guys are essentially in contract years this year, even though Jamie Gillen got a 2-year deal, 1-year commitment. So we'll see if they're back as the group, the trio next year in 2024, but
they are for 2023. So,
yep, definitely. And obviously in terms of the guys they did retain, they retained Matt Breida, their backup running back, and yeah, we don't need to get into that too much, but that's fine enough, I guess. Defensively, they needed to, all right, so like, we'll just start like with the front. And so they needed to get better, like run defense wise, even though Dexter Lawrence had an awesome year. Leonard Williams is still a pretty darn good run blocker. We can touch on his contract in a bit, but they did make some interesting moves here. Maybe they bring in A'shaun Robinson as well, that he was visiting yesterday, Monday. And they sign Raheem Nunez Roches, who goes by Nacho, which kind of a really funny story he shared about why he goes by Nacho. That involves Nacho Ball. Did you see that on the Giants?
I saw it. I didn't get a chance to watch
it's like,
it.
You know, some kind of pun about it's not your ball, not your ball. He seems like a fun guy.
He seems like a character.
they had to replace Justin Ellis and Nick Williams there, right? So they needed to get some depth and try to stop the run better.
Absolutely. I mean, that was the great quote from a great two-word, straight to the point quote from Joe Shane at the scouting combine. I asked him, I said, Joe, how do you feel about your defensive line depth? And he just looked at me and goes, not good. And then he followed that up by, you know, basically saying we need to be able to stop the run a lot better. And, you know, obviously his early moves in free agency pointed toward he backed up his words by trying to do that. You're going to pronounce Bobby O's last name for me because I'm going to mispronounce it if I try. But getting the linebacker who I think was sixth or seventh in the league in tackles last year, reportedly very, you know, scouting reports are that he's also very good at tight coverage situations against tight ends and running backs. But so they got him, and then they got Raheem Nacho, and, you know, and A'shaun Robinson still hanging out there. That would be a pretty significant gathering of talent to try to stop the run.
For sure.
When you have to factor in that you're already at two very good run stoppers in Dexter Lawrence and Leonard Williams. So,
yeah, and I think it would be crazy to cut Leonard Williams. We'll get to his contract after we review the defense, and we'll talk a little bit about cap space at the end. But, like, yeah, this is a win-now team. You need to keep Leonard Williams. He can stop the run. He's not a great pass rusher. So you're looking at you're looking at Leonard Williams, Dexter Lawrence, Raheem Nunez, Roches, Nacho, and maybe A'shaun Robinson. That's a solid front, and maybe the Eagles don't gash them quite as much as they did last year. In terms of inside linebacker, obviously that, and then Jihad Ward, as we alluded to, the outside linebacker, situational pass rusher, he's back, presumably a modest 1-year deal. The cap number is not known yet, which is fine to supplement Kayvon Thibodeau and Azeez Ojulari there on the edge.
I think that's an area where they could use depth, especially from a pass rushing perspective, because, you know, and then especially when you consider how often Azeez Ojulari wasn't on the field last year, you know, you go back to the Eagles and the Chiefs' ability to rush the passer, and, you know, they had ability to run guys in and out, which helped them so much to have that rotational depth. And, you know, they've kind of, they're working on that in the interior, but I still think they needed outside some better pass rushers.
For sure. They blitz a ton. Wink Martindale does, and they just not, but if you look at the metrics, they're not a superb pass rushing team. They don't get home as much as they ought to, considering how often they blitz. They need people other than, just Dexter Lawrence to be an effective pressure guy. And that kind of gets into what you said there. They need perhaps another body there, it sounds like. I agree. And so they moving back in the defense to inside linebacker, obviously we all know what an insane revolving door that was. And Jared Davis, I think it's Jared is how his first name is pronounced. Obviously a low key re-signing there. We knew that they would probably attack, inside linebacker, regardless of bringing back Jared Davis, and Darian Beaver, as we know, is back. But the big outside signing for the Giants, and not counting the Waller trade, obviously, is and we'll make sure you tell it's so Bobby Okereke. So his name used to be like the way he pronounced it for years, and there's an interesting story on the Colts website about this from 2021. His parents are from Nigeria, and for years it went Okereke. Okay, you know, that's not actually how it is. It's not much different than that. It's Okereke. So Okereke. So
it's all yours. I'm just gonna sit back and listen.
I think you just pretend like there's a U in there, an Okereke, Bobby Okereke, maybe Okereke if you want to just put the word rock in there. But Bobby Okereke, the new.
I think Bobby O is the way to go.
Yeah, he's the new middle linebacker. Obviously, hoping that they can provide some stability. The contract details finally out. It amounts to really $22 million commitment over 2 years, which much less than what the Bears gave Tremaine Edmonds. And so, a smart signing, like in terms of what he brings to this defense. If you look at where he was PFF wise. Pretty good against the run last year, 12th in run defense at his position, 22nd in coverage. The year before, not as good against the run, 36, and he was 23rd in coverage.
He was playing more will, I think he said when we talked to him, and he moved to more middle last year. So,
and he can call, he's fast. That's the bottom line. They need to get faster there, and he is.
Absolutely, he's fast, and he's obviously a Stanford grad. And if you look at his bio, he's obviously a very and just from one time speaking with him on the Zoom call, it's very obvious that he's also very smart. So
he will be a really important addition to this defense.
Absolutely, absolutely. He'll be the signal caller. He'll be a leader on the defense for sure.
And they hope that he can give them what Blake Martinez gave the Giants. I mean, it's easy to forget now that Blake Martinez, you know, kind of fell off after his ACL. But really, he was a really nice initially free agent signing for Dave Gettleman in his first 2 years with the Giants, 2020 and 2021. Well, he got hurt early in 2021, but he had a nice year in 2020. He rated well that year. And it was a free agent signing that looked like it was going to pay off. Unfortunately, he got hurt. He kind of petered out and retired. But the Giants remember what it's like from 2020 to have stability at inside linebacker, middle linebacker. And so obviously not the same coaching staff, but they're hoping he can, Bobby Okereke can bring that. Yes, that's right. But Blake Martinez is also a Stanford guy. So yes, that's a great point. And so, Yeah, I think they're hoping Okereke can bring that to their to the middle of their defense, and that should be able to presumably help them defend the run a lot better than they did last year when they were that was a disaster area for them. Like, let's be honest, they were a mess against the run, especially against the Eagles, and then overall in terms of where their run defense ranked, PFF had them 28th. So like, you're not going to win a lot. You're not going to. It's hard to go deep doing that. I mean, it's hard to go deep.
And you know, if you can stop. Stop the run on first down. Just stop it on first down. Put a team in a second and eight. It changes everything in terms of pass rush, everything. And, you know, the Giants just weren't good at that last year. They got gouged way too often, especially against the better teams. You know, if you go back and look at their two games against the Cowboys, obviously their two games that they got killed by the Eagles. You know, they were, I'm pretty sure the Detroit game, they were gouged in that game. And they got beat up good. And you can't win that way. You just can't win in the NFL that way.
No, I mean, it's not the end all be all per se. Cause you know, like the Chiefs are 18th in the run defense and the Eagles are 14th and you talk PFF, but then you look at like pass rush, obviously those teams are really good pass rush teams. The Giants, again, not as efficient as they should have been. They were 20th in pass rush. So, like you said, if they're able to get teams in longer situations on second and third down, that'll help their pass rush. They just need to be competent as a run defense. And so these additions, Bobby Okereke, Raheem Nunez-Roches will presumably help that. So there are some lingering issues still on this defense as we've moved back from D-line in the front to the inside linebacker spot. Now in the secondary. Okay, so there was, you know, the Giants' main in-house free agents coming into this whole deal were probably Nick Gates as the fifth, but then obviously, so Nick Gates and John Feliciano, we know what happened to them. I'm not doing this in order of importance, but Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley are back, Darius Slayton resigns, and then the last domino to fall, Julian Love to Seattle. So they lose their safety, team leader, a captain. That's to me, they have to figure out what they're going to do there at the safety spot next to Xavier McKinney.
Yeah. From the beginning, like it was obvious that the negotiations with Julian Love weren't going good. You know, you go back to the scouting combine and when Joe Shane was asked about him, you know, he basically said, oh, we'll see what the market is for that. Two guys got released yesterday. We'll see what the safety market is. It was obvious that those negotiations were, there was a disconnect from the start. And you know, I guess there's some reports out there that the Giants offered Love more, you know, show me the contract offers is my response to that. Nobody's done that for me yet. But it's a huge loss, and now how are they going to fill that spot? And you know, you also still got to fill the cornerback spot on the other side, and maybe the slot cornerback and the cornerback opposite Adoree Jackson. So you've got a secondary that still has a lot of question marks going into with. I mean, there's still time here again in free agency in the draft, but you've got question marks as we sit here right now.
No doubt, and they had question marks last year largely because of attrition and injuries with Adoree Jackson and Xavier McKinney. But like in terms of the contract stuff, like people need to understand that like a lot of lying occurs from agents and teams during stuff like this because the total value of the contract is essentially meaningless. Let's just understand this. Like if a team offered a player 2 years, $15 million, another team offered him 2 years, 12. There's a plausible way in which 2 years and 12 is better because it all depends on the guaranteed money. A lot of this stuff is like phony dummy money stuff. Like, can we like, let's just understand this. Like Bobby Okereke got a 2 year, $22 million contract from the Giants, period. He did not get whatever the total value of the contract was. Okay. So like Daniel Jones got a 2 year, $82 million contract from the Giants. Okay. So like this whole notion of, did they offer him more? Well, honestly, they probably did not in actuality offer him more because he made it very clear. He's a smart guy, Julian Love, that he was going to look out financially for his family. And so he's looking at, okay, what is the practical guarantee that I got? And he wound up in Seattle for, I don't know exactly what they gave him, but I'd have to look at that. But so he's gone.
I don't think those numbers are out yet.
Yeah. I mean, it's 2 year 12. The numbers are not out. So, So we'll see what it winds up being. But the bottom line is they need to figure out, is it Jason Pinnock there? Is it Dane Belton, who struggled as the initial replacement for McKinney and was benched in favor of Pinnock? In terms of free agency, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is off the market, as they say. He's in Detroit now. So
safety. You knew a guy who supposedly took less money to go elsewhere, although he took $8 million, and the Eagles' offer, I don't think, was for an AAV of $8 million. He took a one-year deal. He could have perhaps gotten a second year out of the Eagles, but whatever. It's exactly what we're talking about. You know, the offers don't always – what's said doesn't always match the truth.
Correct, so, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, the devil's in the details.
Right.
With these contracts.
The bottom line for the Giants is they need a safety. And maybe it is Pinnock. They did like the way Jason Pinnock played last year. I know Wink Martindale liked him especially a lot as a blitzing safety. So he used him a lot in that way. Certainly the NFL is filled with guys like Jason Pinnock who, you know, very under the radar guys who come into the league, prove themselves and become very good players. So, I mean, it's possible. And it's also a league of, you know, Dane Belton had a rough rookie season, but it's also a league where guys come back their second season and for whatever reason, something happened that allows them to be better players. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah.
Julian Love's probably a good example of that. It wasn't until last year that he really became an every down player, you know, and played a lot. So,
got a chance because they cut Logan Ryan. And so maybe they could address safety in the draft. But again, they only have one pick in each of the first three rounds right now. Maybe they trade back and they could pick up another. But their draft capital is not – they can't address all these positions in the draft. So at some point, when they can't spend at every position in free agency, at some point they're going to need to turn to an in-house option at one of these hole spots that have a hole and try to fill it that way. And so – and you got to remember, too, Xavier McKinney, and if he can play better than he did last year and avoid doing foolish things like riding an ATV, he can he's setting himself up because he was a second-round pick. This is a contract year for him that he will probably get decent money next year. So they're going to invest at that position next year. So that will be a mitigating factor maybe. And as you move – I think we'll just – real quick on slot corner, they drafted Cordell Flott. Who has versatility, but it's probably more of a slot guy. Darnay Holmes has been okay, not great. He's entering a contract year. What do they do at slot corner? You know, that's more of, I think, maybe you can roll with Darnay Holmes or Flott for a year there and then figure it out. But it's not like you have a lockdown guy there.
No, you don't. And, you know, you've got McLeod in there. So maybe you take all those guys and you say, hey, compete for, we got three guys for two jobs. So
good point. And right now, yeah, they're looking at a situation where they straight up don't have a number two corner right now to play. So they have not invested in that position to play opposite of Dory Jackson, who's entering the final year of his contract. And so Nick McLeod would be an in-house option there. Flott, maybe.
Aaron Robinson's another one who's coming back from injury. So
he was going to be their guy last year there. Wound up playing two games, had brutal injury luck, but, you know, had that knee injury early enough that he should be able to come back. He should be ready for week one, you'd think. So the number two cornerback spot remains a question mark. Along with the safety spot there. So a lot to sort out in a secondary that went through a lot of change last year and looks like maybe that's going to be the case again this year.
Absolutely. And we know how important the secondary is for an NFL team. We spent a lot of time talking about stopping the run, but if you don't stop the pass, you're in real trouble.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, that kind of covered, they lost, like we said, we covered all the guys they lost and the guys they brought in and brought back. I don't think in terms of the cornerbacks, but I don't think Fabian Moreau is back. They have some other guys who are still lingering out there as in-house guys, but lower profile guys who it seems like they're probably ready to move on there and go with the younger guys like, you know, McLeod or Flott, certainly at the outside cornerback spot.
Yeah, and, you're talking mostly about veteran guys now.
Yeah, like Tony Jefferson is probably, you know, not coming back, I wouldn't think.
No. O'Shane is probably not coming back.
Right, yes.
Jalen Smith isn't, you know.
Landon Collins, you know, no. Certainly not Justin Ellis or Nick Williams. Richie James is an interesting one.
Because they do need a returner.
They do. He would be the one guy, I think, maybe.
Yeah. I think so too, because he played. I mean, you know, they brought him in to be a punt returner, but he became a lot more of a receiver than they thought he would be, I'm sure. And you know, he did a good job in that regard for most of the season, given how way beyond expectations, put it that way.
For sure, and I think it would be okay to just bring him back as a punt returner and let him focus on that. Now that they have better options, probably. A receiver, and he has the ability to be like a backup slot, or you know, maybe the number two slot early in the year if you go with Sterling Shepard there, with Wandale Robinson still recovering from his ACL tear. Again, that happened in late November, so we'll see on the timeline of his return from that. But in terms of like, yeah, you kind of touched on it. There are some interesting guys out there in free agency still, especially center, right? Like Connor McGovern, Ben Jones. So can Joe Shane spend still? Like real quick, we'll just touch on where they're at cap wise. They're at $3.7 million, only five teams below them according to Over the Cap. We'll see what the Jahad Ward contract does in terms of a dent into that. It won't be a big contract, but everything else is on their books right now. How can they create more cap space? We know they did it with Darren Waller. They reworked his deal, freed up 7.8, and basically took some of his salary, converted it to a signing bonus, lowered his cap hit for this year, and essentially committed to him through 2024. It was previously just a 1-year commitment. But again, when you trade a third round pick for a guy, you're saying he's going to be on your team for more than a year. So the next thing they could do, the obvious things are give Saquon Barkley's contract extension, or give him a new contract, right? That'll lower his cap number, which is the franchise tag at 10 million ish. Dexter Lawrence on the 5th year option at 12 right now. He deserves a new contract, right? That would lower his cap number, and you're going to commit to him anyway. So those would be a couple obvious moves, I think. They did the Waller one. The other two that I think you could look at, a little more tricky, is Adoree Jackson and Leonard Williams. And the cap number for Leonard Williams is huge. It's 32. Jackson's 19. They both have a void year in 2024, which gives you a little wiggle room in terms of moving stuff around. So the big one being Leonard Williams, like what do they do there? Like at what point do you go to Leonard Williams and say, take a pay cut? I have some feelings on how tricky that could be. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, you basically say, Leonard, we were a playoff team last year. We're trying to go beyond that. You know, we're a playoff team that won one playoff game last year, but we really weren't a Super Bowl contender. You play to his team. How much of a team guy is he? You know, to me, that's how you play. I don't know if it works or not, because obviously these guys know they're in the business, and you know, but if it can help like $3 million, you know, and you're Leonard Williams, and these guys do want to win, and these guys, you know, one of the goals of being in this league is trying to win a Super Bowl. If you can help that without taking too big a financial hit, maybe you can play to that. But I don't know. That's a tough assignment for Joe Shane right there. And he knows it. He jokes about it all the time because, you know, Leonard Williams on the last day of the season misspoke about, you know, what was the exact quote? That he said about taking a pay cut.
Yeah. Well, he was asked, would you be willing to take one? And I think it was a pretty direct question, but like, you know, he just gave the polite response. Right. Like, right. Yeah, that's something I consider. Like,
right.
That's probably right. The best way to diffuse and deflect that question. It's not like he's saying like, yes, please give me a pay cut.
Right. It's obviously he hasn't considered it yet. No. So, you know, do you cut him?
I think that would be crazy. He's
too good a player to cut. Now, this does become a question. Like, okay, A'shaun, if you sign an A'shaun Robinson, And, you know, A'shaun Robinson has been a starter in this league, as has Rakeem, as has Nacho. I hate saying three names. So they were both starters last year. So at some point do you say, hey, you know what, we can get away with having one of these guys be our starter and the other one being our top reserve, and we feel good enough about our younger guys. So what becomes the cap savings at that point? $12 million?
Right. So if they cut Leonard Williams before June 1st, it's $12 million in cap savings with about $20 million in dead money. If they happen to do it.
You know, so say you want, I don't know, pick a position, pick center. All right, that you want to get better there. That is a way to say, hey, you know what, Leonard, we feel really good about our depth at the defensive tackle spot now. You know, we want to keep you, but if we can't, we're just going to take the dead money hit, save the $12 million, and use that money to go get ourselves a center or whatever, or another position. It's a consideration to look at. I mean, you know, he had a good season last year, but not a great one.
Yep, and it has always been better against the run. And
for the first time in his career, he was also hurt.
Yep, and has had a neck issue, which is a little bit of a concerning thing. The first, you know, always been really good against the run. Not an elite pass rusher, except for maybe that one year in the contract. If they make it a post June 1 cut, they free up $18 million in dead money initially, because or in cap savings initially, because they can spread the dead money out over the final 2 years of the contract. So, again, because he has the void year in 2024. To me, you don't cut him. I just don't see. It doesn't make sense. He's too good of a run defender for a team that needs to defend the run better. This is a win now team.
Right, you know, but would you rather have we'll use Connor McGovern as the. Would you rather have him as your center and A'shaun Robinson and Nacho as your defensive tackles with Leonard Williams gone? Or would you rather have Leonard Williams and whoever's, you know, Ben Bredesen as your center? Which would you rather have?
You can do it both. And I think here's how it would work. Leonard Williams has an $18 million salary for this year, right? So if they, here's how it could work. They could wait this out, you know, and now, the issue being like Ben Jones or Connor McGovern might sign, right? So, again, I think you can draft a center. They need like a long-term solution there. But in terms of the Leonard Williams pay cut, you can keep him on a pay cut by basically waiting this out, waiting until after free agency when all the spots are kind of filled up, and come to him and say, okay, your salary is $18 million. You're not getting $18 million elsewhere. If they want to slash it to like 10, he could probably get 10 somewhere else. Total money, because, you know, we get a couple of years to spread over 10. But he's not getting 18 anywhere else. Now, if you go to him over like $3 or $4 million, could you say, okay, we're going to lower it to 15 or 14? Then what does he do? Because then is he going to get 15 or 14 somewhere else? Probably not. There's a needle to be thread here between what he could get somewhere else realistically. If you keep waiting him out, wait it out.
Right.
Now you're saving $3 or $4 million. Again, the flip side of this here is if you wait them out, then the guys who you would be using that money on might be signed, right? So, but you can always roll cap space over, and you know, they need cap room to operate during the season, so they're pinched right now. And so I think that's where you can thread the needle and have him. You can strong arm him into like a modest pay cut and tell him, look, you're not making 18 elsewhere. We're going to lower you to 14, which you also would not make. It just becomes like if you lower him to a number that he's going to make elsewhere, then he could tell you to go pound sand. Now, the other thing is he wants to win. He is getting up there. You know, I mean, Leonard Williams came to the league young, but he is going to be in June 29 years old. This will be, what, year 9 for him? Wow. And he's made $94 million through 8 seasons, with an $18 million more coming this year. If you're him and you've presumably saved, all right, and say, okay, look, I'm going to be up to 112 after this year if I make $18 million, or I can just take $5 million off that. What is that a big deal? I think he would be perhaps open to that. Now, you're not going to get him to lower his salary to like $6 million, but you can chip away at it a little bit if you wait it out.
Right. Yeah, but no, I mean,
that waiting all sounds, cost you.
It all sounds logical to me. It's got to sound logical to Leonard Williams and his agent.
For sure. You know, the other possibility is if they, like, if they really like him, and if Joe Shane, and I don't know if this would be the right move, is you could take some of his base salary, convert it into a signing bonus, and basically stretch yourself a little bit more, where currently right now, you know, you'd be looking at there because of the void year, they have a dead money hit coming in 2024. So no matter what, $5.9 million, the cap's going to go up. If you take some of the base and convert it to a signing bonus to lower the cap hit in 2023, what that does is make it harder to cut him next year. Right. But what's the difference between, you know, a $5.9 million dead money and maybe a $10 million dead money when the cap is going to go up so much? It's all relative to the cap. So there's a way where he could get his money still and the cap number goes down. That could be somewhat palatable, but there's a lot of issues. I just don't think cutting him makes sense because, again, what's more important, having a good run stopper on the field? And again, the center situation complicates it, but clearly they weren't going to re-sign John Feliciano anyway, right?
Well, I think they had a low number that they were willing to sign him out, but that was the only, they, you know, they wanted to, but they weren't going to expand beyond the number they had him on. So,
and this pinch cap situation is why, you know, it would be really hard for them to do something like trade for DeAndre Hopkins at this point. They've invested, you know, the Waller trade really, you know, if you look at cap hits, right, for this year, what they've committed to people, Waller, even after the restructure, has a pretty significant cap hit. It's actually $4 million, which isn't that high, but they committed $5 million to Bobby Okereke. And so, that starts to chip away. When you didn't have much to begin with, that chips away. I do think if they can get a Dexter Lawrence deal done, that could really help. But the problem, you know, the thing with Dexter Lawrence is, like, he wants to see how the rest of these deals go, I would think, right? If you're Dexter Lawrence, wouldn't you want to see what Quinnen Williams gets paid first?
Absolutely. You want to go as high as you can. You know you're not going to Aaron Donald number, but you want to go as high as you can, obviously.
And a lot of dominoes are still to fall, like at defensive tackle. I know Deron Payne got paid, but he's not the same player as Dexter Lawrence. Like, a lot of these guys are up this year.
Right. Yeah. No. I mean, sometimes it's the player that says, no, I'll wait. I'll wait to see. Yeah, I know you'd like me to sign right now, but, you know, what would Dexter Lawrence get on the free agent market next year?
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
be a big number,
or they franchise tag him, and I think, you know, try to get a deal done if you can. He's a foundational player. He's an awesome player. They need to get a deal done with him.
It should be the as we sit here now, that should be at the top, the number one order of business for Joe Shane right now is trying to get Dexter Lawrence wrapped up beyond this year.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't think that the Payne contract, when you look at the details of it, should really impact them too much. But there are other guys, like, so Dexter Lawrence, Quinnen Williams, let's see, so who's up? Jeffrey Simmons, Christian Wilkins, Chris Jones, those guys are up. And so all of that's worth considering. On the other side of it, though, is Saquon Barkley. So yeah, they can lower his cap number with an extension, but man, he has no leverage now. It's all gone.
He had the misfortune of being a running back. He's the interesting guy who's out there right now, wants to be traded is Austin Eckler from the Chargers, you know, saying he's underpaid. And I think he's at like $6 million for the year in the last year of his rookie contract. You know, it's a problem in the league that running backs, and I saw someone suggest they should change the rookie scale for running backs, since they're obviously have the shortest lifespan. You can get them later on. You know, there's so many things working against them. And I remember talking to somebody about this. You know, it's not that teams don't value having a good running back, but they just know that they can work the system in their favor. It's an interesting, I kind of like the idea of saying, if you're the NFLPA saying, hey, you know what, let's do something about how, you know, people like Saquon not getting probably their fair market value because of the system. Let's change the rookie pay scale for running backs. Probably be a non-starter for owners, but something should be done. And to your point, no, Saquon has no marketing power, no negotiating power whatsoever right now.
And I think, I mean, like the running back market has cratered. He got tagged, which took away any leverage he had. He really should take what he can get now. Would they even be willing to give him $10 million guaranteed? Even with a tag now, he might be overpaid. And so if you're him, do you just play it out and see? Given his health history, that would be a risk.
I mean, his only leverage is not to sign the tag.
Right. And because it pinches them. And it, you know, if he wants to, I could understand, or just to tell him, like, I'm going to play. Yeah, right. If he doesn't sign the tag, he could skip mandatory minicamp. He could skip training camp. He could make it ugly. Eventually, he's going to have to sign that tag and play on the tag and approve it year. And maybe he does go out and prove it again. But in terms of the rookie scale you were referring to, I presume that was about the fifth-year option money for running backs.
Something.
All of it slotted on draft slots, so it doesn't. But right now, you know, if you look at the 2020 first round picks, and what a running back would get, like just take for example, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who was a first round pick. He was the only running back pick in the first round in 2020. The fifth year option number for him, just based on like, it's anywhere from about $5.5 to $6 million based on, you know, the basic option versus playing time. And then it can go up if a guy has made Pro Bowls, but that's pretty low. I mean, well, Saquon Barkley's fifth year option last year was what? Let me look him up on SpoTrack here. But again, I think that's the point that they're getting at is like, these guys are getting really pinched on the option year. And so, right last year he made $7.2 million on the fifth year option, and this year he's scheduled to make 10 on the tag, and that's having made a Pro Bowl last year on that option because he did earlier in his career. So yeah, it's not a lot. I don't know how they determine those numbers. I think it's based on average salary values and stuff, but like obviously teams look at the running back position a lot. You know, it's right. Not valued. Especially when you have a guy who's been hurt. So,
right.
How do you see it? We usually kind of wrap this up with a prediction. Let's look ahead, and we don't have to predict what they're going to do at every spot, but just in terms of the Dexter Lawrence and Saquon Barkley situations, how do you see that unfolding in the coming weeks and months?
I think, and we could be go into the summer with this, but I think they will, by the time they get to training camp, they will both have deals of some sort. That Dexter Lawrence will find a way to extend him beyond this season and lower his cap number, and they will do the same with Saquon. I'm thinking, you know, if they were offering him 3 to 12.5, which probably wasn't that high when you talked about the real numbers, but maybe he gets a second year out of them. And lowers his cap number some. I think they'll both get done, because I think both sides want something done, and that always helps when you got two people. When you got people willing to negotiate with each other, it always helps, and I think that is the case here.
Yeah, I think for different reasons here. They need to get it done with Dexter Lawrence. They need to get him locked up. He's going to make big money regardless. They know that. With Saquon Barkley, on the other hand, I think he needs to take the money when he can get it now. Agree.
The one guy who was willing to sit it out was Le'Veon Bell, and that did not work out well for him after he
did. It did not. And I suppose he could play on the tag for $10 million and try again next year. And they're not going to tag him next year, obviously. I would think, not tag him. So he could have the ability to hit true free agency. But I don't know. I think you take the money if you're Saquon Barkley. And you just go with it. And Yeah, it's unfortunate for him that he's never really going to ever hit true free agency in the prime of his career because of the fifth-year option and because of the franchise tag, which is why a guy is really better off being a second-round pick than a first-round pick, like Nick Chubb, for instance, and so who's performed better than Barkley, as we've mentioned many times, and who the Giants should have drafted. So, yeah, I think that they both get done. I think I agree that this they'll probably drag on to the summer. But ultimately, that's where they're at. And that kind of covers everything. And the next thing up for us is this weekend, Sunday through really Wednesday-ish, Tuesday, we'll be at the NFL owners meetings, or I guess the NFL annual meeting, it's technically called, out in Phoenix, Scottsdale area. So John Mara, I presume, will be talking at that, Joe Shane, and definitely Brian Daboll. Likely all three will be speaking. So there will be some news coming out of that, or at least some comments on free agency and all that stuff. And then after that, you know, with the calendar quickly turning to April, wow, and then the draft. But yeah, so what, before we wrap up, your biggest question for the Giants brass, any of those three coming up this week, what's the biggest question you want answered? That is answerable, I guess, not something like that they're not going to actually answer.
Oh, I always think it's just so important. What's your offensive line going to look like? how are you going to make that work? And I'm sure the answer is going to be we got time. But to me, that's just vital. You got Daniel Jones some weapons, so now you need to have some guys protect him.
Yeah, and I guess, that's probably going to be for Joe Shane. Honestly, Brian Daboll doesn't say much. Joe Shane actually sneakily, he does, like you alluded to earlier. He can be candid at times. He can be pretty good and say what he's really thinking. Obviously, John Mara is a little bit, he lets the guys make their decisions and he'll make his comments. But I would say for Joe Shane, my question would be on the other side of the ball, how concerned are you about this secondary with the fact that you now have pretty significant holes there at the one safety spot and outside corner? Do you feel good enough about the likes of Jason Pinnock and Dane Belton and Nick McLeod to roll with those guys? It'll be interesting to hear what he has to say about that. We'll appreciate everybody joining us, and we will, I don't know when we'll do another one of these, probably not next week. At some point we'll have a lot of coverage, obviously, off the owners meetings. But certainly by the middle of April, we'll have another one of these leading into the draft. And so in the meantime, please subscribe, rate, review on all your podcasting platforms. We really appreciate everybody listening, and have a great rest of your week as the weather gets a little warmer here, at least in New Jersey. And be sure to check our stuff on nj.com/Giants, as we will have plenty of dispatches from out there in Arizona coming up starting really Sunday. So have a great week. Take care, everyone. And thank you for listening.